Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
I'm Lisa Davis. I'm so thrilled you're here listening to Talk Healthy Today. I have so much fun on the show, and I get to talk to fantastic people like our next guest, Felicia Stoller, Dr. Felicia Stoller. She's the author of Living Skinny in Fat Genes. She's fabulous. I've spoken to her many times, and I'm thrilled to have her back. Hello, Dr. Stoller.
Hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's so good to have you on the show. We are going to be asking the question, or I'm going to be asking you, actually, is your brain making you fat? Okay, what the heck is going on?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I always like to say everything is about choices, right? So, you know, the way I try to explain this to whether it be patients or students or others is that I think of your brain like, you know, the equivalent of NASA and mission control when it comes to like space missions and when it comes to what choices we're making as far as foods, right? So we, you know, actively make a choice to eat something or not eat something or drink something or not drink something. Same thing with to exercise or to sit on our rear ends a little bit longer. So, you know, there's that aspect of it. And then the other thing, too, is something that in the science space and the healthcare space we think of as like the set point theory. So where is it where your body tends to stay comfortable? Like when I counsel patients, I always say to them, what's your highest adult body weight? What's your lowest adult body weight? And where do you stay? What weight do you stay at without much effort? Because that ladder is the one that's really going to tell me where does your body want to go to? And so this way we know how to work past that, you know, what we have to work past. So if somebody's coming in with some unrealistic expectation of body weight, you know, I know how to, you know, how to temper it so that maybe we can make it more realistic for them. And then the other thing is, you know, what are some little tricks that we can do or some little goals or steps we can take to even bypass what is, you know, again, like that set point or that, you know, brain weight, like where our body wants to be. It's not about how much your brain actually weighs if you were to take it out of your skull. So
I'm like, wait a second, heavy brain, heavy body? What's going on?
Right. Right. So, you know, there are so many shows on TV and there are, you know, we hear about celebrities doing all kinds of crazy diets. We hear about stuff we see in magazines, you know, what people do to obtain or attain some, you know, new physiques. And, you know, the question is, what is safe? What's effective? What is healthy? And then what is long lasting? Because, you know, being on a diet, as I like to say, you know, the word diet stands for did I eat that? But, you know, what most people think of diet as is that thing that they go on and off of. And, you know, we know that it's really the sum of your habits and behaviors that make up, you know, as far as food and fluids go, that's really what your diet is. And so, you know, I like to speak to people about, like, how do we adjust your food intake? So, if, you know, you're making a healthier choice and it should be an easy choice. And, you know, sometimes it's swapping some foods out. Sometimes it's about portion control. And it's really just about getting on a path that is something that is sustainable. You know, we hear about sustainable related to food. The way we eat and our sort of diets should be sustainable for health and something that we can do over and over again.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, I'm glad you mentioned about the set point, because I think if you are on the larger side as a person, maybe you have large bones or maybe your body's supposed to be, I don't know if it's supposed to be a certain weight. You can answer that better than I can, but you're not going to suddenly be a twig. And I don't think it's healthy to be that way, right? So you have to work within what's realistic.
Right. Well, so what'll happen is sometimes when I'm working with someone and they're losing weight, they'll complain that they plateau. And they always think of a plateau as being a bad thing. And I'm like, no, actually, a plateau is a good thing. We want to actually stay at that plateau for a little while. We want to make sure we get your exercising down right. We're balancing out your calories. And, you know, then we want to stay at that plateau for a little while to give the body time and that brain time to do like a reset, to readjust to being comfortable at this now lower weight so that we can continue to bring the weight down slowly. And that is what is important. So it could be things like, you know, maybe we have to modify or change up your exercise. You know, some people say, oh, I don't have all day to exercise. So in the fitness space, we think about the FIT principle, frequency, intensity, and time. By changing any one of those, you change the exercise. So, you know, if you only have 30 minutes a day or you only have an hour a day, changing up your exercise that you're doing can change that up too. And then when it comes to food, you know, it's a matter of what are you eating? Are you eating more fruits and vegetables and whole grains? And, you know, are you eating okay portion sizes when it comes to protein? I'll give you a quick story. I was at a restaurant the other day in New York City, predominantly seafood, Greek food, Mediterranean style. And on the menu, it actually, beyond the specific dishes, you could order specific fish. And it said that you could order it. They recommend 1 pound per person. And I gasped. I said, well, there's a problem. This is why people have problems with portion control, because you're at a restaurant, you think it's Greek food, it's seafood, it should be healthy, and they're telling you to eat anywhere from 2 to 3 times what your daily intake should be for one person. So, you know, I thought that was a little problematic. So most of us are not going to walk around with measuring scales in our pockets or measuring spoons. I think using things when you're at home to eyeball portions are really important ways to sort of eyeball what is a proper portion. I think that's one thing I've worked really hard at when I educate my clients. And also stuff I do for myself, too. And so at home, what are some things you can do? Eating off of smaller plates, using smaller bowls, smaller forks and spoons. I have a colleague who created a little chopstick to use to help people really slow down their eating habits, you know, making sure you chew your food well instead of swallowing it whole. And something else I'd like to recommend that people consider doing, especially for those folks that, you know, will tell me, oh, I can't, you know what, I got a problem with carbs, I like to eat too many carbs. And I always say, don't eliminate them. They are your friend. Your brain relies on carbohydrates for fuel. We need to eat them. So don't go and restrict them, because what people forget about are things like fruits and vegetables are made up of carbs too. So we can't just eat meat and fat alone. So we definitely do need to have carbohydrates. So what I recommend people consider doing is choosing higher fiber carbohydrates when they're going to more whole grain, which, again, the word whole grain in and of itself isn't enough to mean that it's a better choice. You need to look on the food label and see how many grams of fiber are on there. And something that I'm excited about that I have some friends that have been using is something called Phase 2, which is a white kidney bean extract. And it's a branded ingredient. It's found in brands like GNC, Vitamin Shoppe, Natrol. And what it is, it's something from nature, white kidney beans, that basically when you take it about 20 minutes before a meal, it can help to inhibit the absorption of starchy carbohydrates in your meal. Up to 65% of those carbs are going to be blocked from being absorbed, which means they're not going into your bloodstream. They're just going to stay in your intestinal tract and go out the other end, you know? And so for some people, it's a really awesome way to help them with weight loss, and they have clinical research supporting it. So I like anything that has clinical research that's been peer-reviewed and is considered safe. So,
oh, I completely agree. That sounds great. What is it called again? Phase 2?
It's called Phase 2, and it's basically white kidney bean extract. So, hello, something from nature, and I love the fact that it's plant-based, too. It's going to help to, you know, inhibit the absorption of starchy carbohydrates. So, you know, it's not completely eliminating it, but it is helping to block some of it. So for those people that find, and it's not just something to take just once, it can be part of a weight loss regimen to help people get to that next level. So as they are trying to reduce their caloric intake and maybe work on their portion sizes and portion control, it can be something to be of assistance. It's like training wheels.
You know, Dr. Stoller, you're the author of Living Skinny in Fat Genes, and that's not J-E-A-N-S, by the way, G-E-N-E-S. Talk to us a little bit about your book, and what does that mean, Living Skinny in Fat Genes?
Well, so people blame their genes or their DNA for why they're overweight, and I tell a very cute story in the book about a cartoon I saw on a PowerPoint presentation with a guy sitting across from his doctor saying, hey doc, fat genes run in my family, and the doctor says, no, nobody in your family runs. So we love to blame our parents for everything, but at the end of the day, a generation or two or three ago, overweight and obesity were not the problems that they are now in our society and in our world, because it's not just in the U.S., it's across the globe. We're seeing like global obesity being a problem. So it's, again, it's about our choices. You know, what are the foods that you choose to eat? And I live in New Jersey. We've got diners here. I watch the way people eat at diners. Diners are known for like these ginormous portions of food. And I'm aghast when I watch people. I look at what people order, but I'm even a little bit more shocked when the plate is empty. You know, because I just find I can't eat all of that. And sometimes we eat because it's in front of us. Sometimes we eat for boredom. I do have a private practice. I have lots of clients that do sort of stuff their face to stuff their emotions, and that's not really the best way to eat. So, you know, I talk about, you know, what are some habits that people can change so that they're not doing that. You know, it's finding other ways to de-stress, or to just not be around food all the time. So, you know, walking away, like maybe taking a walk after dinner with your family if you live in a warm place, or even if you don't mind the cold, going for a brisk walk. If you're the kind of person who comes home from their day, or their first thing they do is go to the refrigerator and open it up and look to see what's in there to snack on it, or you go to that snack drawer, change your habit, change your routine, do something else that isn't that. You know, maybe it's coming home from work and taking a shower and putting on different clothes and then, you know, having dinner. Or maybe it's having a small snack on your way home from work so that you're, again, not over hungry when you get to that, you know, opportunity to eat. Reward yourself with other things other than food. It could be exercise. It can be a massage. It can be a manicure. It could be sitting down with a good book and reading. You know, we all live very busy lives, and sometimes things that we enjoy doing just take a back burner. Scheduling things like exercise in, or scheduling these other rewards in, are really important. I know I look on Sunday at my calendar for the week. I look at what meetings I have, what appointments I have, and then I decide when I'm going to go to the gym, and I literally put it in my calendar like an appointment.
Oh, that is such a good idea. And we need to do that more and more with our health, right? You got to schedule these times for these things.
Right, and think about foods every day. Instead of thinking about calories, think about it as, did I get what my body needed today? Did I have enough fruits today? Did I have some vegetables today? Did I have whole grains? Did I have some protein? Did I have some good for me fats? How much water am I consuming every day? Those are the things to think about. You know, I mean, that's how you normalize eating. That's how you make it. You know, you want to be mindful in that you want to chew it, savor it, taste the flavor, appreciate the texture. But again, you know, we're not sitting here with calculators on our tongue and keeping track of every, you know, it's not like that scanner at the grocery store, like scanning the amount of calories you just took in and just, you know, register that for the day. But it is about balancing out food in, calories in versus calories out.
You know, you've got four great tips, mind over matter. Now, we've talked a little bit about some of the issues in these, but I'd love to jump right in. The first one is cater to cravings. What does that mean?
So that means don't say, absolutely, I'm not ever, never, ever going to have something. So I'm never going to have carbs. I'm never going to have chocolate. Have it. Enjoy it. Eat a small amount of it, because you know what happens when you don't do it? When you're around those foods again, you binge on it. That's like for every person I know that's ever did an Atkins-style carb-free diet. The minute they're off their quote-unquote diet and they're around a loaf of bread, they eat the whole thing instead of learning how to accept that you can eat a piece and have a little bit of olive oil with it or a little bit of butter with it, and then be done with it and be satisfied because you had that, right? Or I like to talk about eating individually wrapped, you know, portions of chocolate instead of those large bars that they have where you're like, oh, that piece just broke off. I have to eat the other piece to even out what's left in the bar. You know, I cracked it funny, you know. So instead of cheating yourself. So, yeah. So give in to your cravings. Don't overdo it, but allow yourself to enjoy even small amounts of the foods that you love.
You know, I haven't had Raisin Bran in years, and even like the healthier kind of Raisin Bran you can get. But if I go for it, I'll go overboard. Like, I'm really bad. There's certain foods that trigger me. And so I think it depends on your personality, right? Like, I can't even have a little bit because the whole box will be gone. But then there's other foods.
Oh,
I don't know what it is about Raisin Bran.
I'm like that with cheese doodles.
I know, isn't that weird?
No, that's like a joke. Like, out of all the things, they're like, the cheese doodles can't be in the house. Your mom will eat the whole bag because I swear it talks to me.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Isn't that ridiculous? I know my husband was laughing about this the other day. I haven't had it in the house in years because I just know. But then there's other things where I can just have a couple. Like if I buy my daughter some cookies, you know, she's 12 and she wants some cookies. Well, I'll get her the ones with 5 ingredients instead of 35 ingredients. And the other day I'm like, okay, I'm just going to have one. And I actually did it and I ate it really slowly and it was really good. And that was great.
Right.
But that took a lot of work because in the past,
yes,
those cookies would have been history.
Right. But Raisin Bran, that's a new one. I like that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's high fiber. I should be like, okay, let's do this. But too much of a good thing. Now, the mind over matter number 2 is don't demonize food groups. Oh my gosh, isn't this like the way today though, Dr. Stoller? It's so popular to just say, never eat this, don't eat that. Talk to us about this.
Right, that has too much sugar in it. We invoke the S word all the time. Like, people say, I don't want to have that. It has too much sugar. Then they talk about going on these quote-unquote cleanses where they're just drinking all these quote-unquote veggie juices. Juices, hence the word juice. Guess what that's made of? It's all carbohydrates, folks, and all carbohydrates equals sugar. But it's not table sugar. I mean, and I'd like to take back that word sugar because I think we've just made it into such a bad thing. We talk about blood sugar. We talk about sugar, table sugar, fruit sugar, you know, carbohydrate sugar, all carbohydrates equal sugar. And I think that's problematic because, again, we need glucose, we need carbohydrates to make our body run. That's how we were created. That's the system that we need. So, so not having sort of those, you know, demonizing beliefs about food. I mean, if you said you wanted to be a vegan because you don't want to eat anything from an animal, that's a little bit different. That's not what I'm talking about.
Sure. Yeah, I totally understand that. All right. Mind over matter number 3, slow and steady wins the race. Now, we touched on this earlier. My daughter eats so quickly, and I have tried everything. I got to try that chopstick thing you were telling me about or telling us about. Tell us about that, because I tried to get this kid to slow down, and she just inhales her food.
I know. Well, you know, the other thing is looking at why she's inhaling her food. Is she doing it because she's over hungry? So, you know, some people think we should only have meals and no snacks. That's why I'm a big advocate of snacks, because you don't want to overeat at that next sort of feeding opportunity or eating opportunity. So that's why I do recommend 3 meals and 3 snacks throughout the day.
Yes.
But, you know, sometimes I know when my kids were little and I was nursing, you know, I wouldn't feel like I had a lot of time to actually eat. So I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm so hungry. I have to eat so fast. But I do find when I have the time and I'm not in a hurry, I do sit and savor my food. But what I've recommended to some people that need to learn how to, you know, eat slowly is put your fork down between bites.
Yes, my grandmother taught me that when I was 14. Apparently, I was a really quick eater as well.
Yeah.
And that really does help.
Right. So that does help a lot. I do think that can be one way to help slow you down. I mean, you know, there's been research done looking at the number of times you chew your food. What I will say is that one of my nieces was having some GI issues, and the doctor said to her, do you chew your food well? And she wasn't. And the problem was, and I even told my son this too, you know, you need to chew your food a little bit better, because the role of chewing is what we call mastication, but breaking the food that's in your mouth into little pieces, smaller pieces, so that enzymes and things like acids, stomach acids, can keep breaking it down, and enzymes help to absorb it. So if you eat and chew your food better, it gets absorbed more efficiently and effectively. It will get absorbed eventually, but the question is, how much time is it spending in your stomach? How much of it is actually, you know, it's exposing surface area so that it can be absorbed. So that's the reason why we want to try to slow down with our eating habits.
Now, the fourth
one,
mind
over matter, is also weight loss, too. I'm sorry. That's the same thing with weight loss, too, that you just don't want to, you know, think about losing like 50 pounds in a month. That's not healthy.
No, isn't it 1 to 2 pounds a week?
Yes, no more than 2 pounds a week.
All right. I'm glad that you said that, because that makes a big difference. All right. Mind over matter number 4, swap a bad habit.
Right. So swapping a bad habit, as I was starting to talk about, is, you know, going for a walk instead of maybe just going and having dessert right after a meal, or taking a shower or a bath to de-stress instead of eating a whole thing of chocolate. So, again, finding ways to, and it could be swapping a food habit, too. It could be, you know, using skim milk instead of whole fat milk. And I know some people are like, no, really? And I'm like, yeah, really. Really, you know, I'd rather have the whole fat milk in my cheese. You know, I'd rather pick and choose where I'm going to have it. So when it comes to cheese, or if I want to have ice cream, you know, that's where I'm going to have it. But so every other time, whether it be my yogurt or whether it be the milk in my coffee, I'm going to go for skim milk, and I'm going to swap that bad habit out. And the same thing.
Oh, I think that makes so much sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, I enjoy Greek yogurt. I enjoy, you know, skim milk I don't mind in my coffee. I just like it to lighten it up so it's not so harsh on my teeth. I'm not going for the mouthfeel with those types of foods. So, just finding a healthy swap. I like to use things, instead of mayonnaise, I'll use something like hummus if I'm making a tuna salad or a chicken salad or even an egg salad, because I mayo is not exactly the healthiest food in the world. So that's something that I would rather do, like a better swap for.
Well, you are wonderful, Dr. Stoller. You'll have to come back. I mean, you are just such a, what's the word I wanted to say? I'm blanking out on the word, something of knowledge. Fill
I'm
it in for me. What's that
word? Chock full of knowledge.
You're chock full. I like that. Just like Raisin Bran is chock full of raisins.
Right.
Dr. Stoller, tell us all the...
I have a lot of education. I got a lot of experience, and I'm happy to share it because I would like to be, you know, I like people to have some credible information coming from a credible source.
Oh, so do I, and you are amazing. All right, Dr. Stoller, tell us all the ways we can find you on social media.
Oh, I'm on everything under Felicia Stoller. How's that? And my book is Living Skinny and Fat Genes, The Healthy Way to Lose Weight and Feel Great. You can get that on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and, you know, Felicia Stoller everywhere on all social media. So thank you so much.
Great.
I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was super fun. I want to thank everyone for listening to Talk Healthy today. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe by going to RadioMD.com. So glad you listened. Stay well. Take care.